God's people said, amen. What a blessing. That's just all the way around just good. We thank God for how good he's been, for what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to be doing. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter number 12. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 12. As we look there in the passage, you'll find that the greatest preacher that ever has been or ever will be, who is the Son of the living God, the name is the Lord Jesus Christ, is preaching a sermon. And in the book of Luke, in chapter number 12, you find the place you're able to stand. Let's look there about verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've been able to enjoy together as a congregation, and the good special music. Lord, how we ask you now that you speak to our hearts. If there's one lost without God, may they come to know thee and the free pardon of sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into this Bible passage that we're looking at, is that the Lord Jesus Christ had been preaching in chapter number 12. In fact, he warns us about the crowd. You better be careful about getting in too big a crowd and thinking the way they think, doing the way they do, because you'll find is that he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There's a lot of people out there in the world that profess to know God, but in works they deny him. They go through the motions and all that business there, but really and truly, they have no real conversion. They have no real evidence that they've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I got to say to you that, if you will, you know how people that are on the other side of the world get saved? Same way they do on this side. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name that's above every name. His name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I begin to think about, when you begin to look into this, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. He was preaching about hell in this whole chapter, if you will, please. And you know what kind of crowd that he was preaching to? A whole lot like the crowd that we preach to. Some of them were busy, you know, fiddling around with their phone. Some drawing pictures. Some were busy with this and that. And some were busy listening to whatever's going on up and down the road there. Some were trying to be able to, get their next snack. Yes, some were busy about everything and did not even know what he had to say. Right. In fact, Jesus Christ was saying, I don't want you to fear him that after he kills the body, that's all he can do. Fear him after he kills the body can throw your body and your soul into hell. That's what he's talking about in that chapter. Now, there's a guy sitting there, been waiting on his turn to be able to ask Jesus something. In fact, as you'll find out, whenever it came his time, I guess it came his time, he just broke in and asked, Master, would you make my brother share his inheritance with me? That's something, isn't it? His mind wasn't anywhere right. I bet you could have interviewed him and said, hey, do you know what he's been preaching about? He's been preaching about hell. He was. Well, I got a brother who's got a bunch of stuff there. May send him to hell, and I'd like to be able to get my portion of it before he dies and goes there. That's something, isn't it? I got to say to you, we live in a world that is too preoccupied with everything under the sun except the one name under heaven given among men whereby they can be saved. That is the name that is above every name. That is the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I begin to think about in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find that here's one of the things that we better be doing, is that Jesus answered that man, and the Bible says in verse number, 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. In other words, if you want to have a real life, well, it's not going to be in things. It's not going to be in money, material, or anything. God can give you and I something that money cannot buy, something more precious than silver, something more precious than gold, if you will, please. God has got something that's beyond the comprehension of humanity. And here's a couple of people that were here, especially that one. He was so preoccupied mentally with his brother and the inheritance that he wanted to be able to get his part of it. Somehow or another, he completely missed the whole message that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. Now, that's the reason why that he broke into this sermon that we're now preaching about. And that is a man that had the same problem this guy did up there in about verse number 13. The reason why I know that is because here's a man that had, he had a lucrative life, we'll say. Here's a man that you'll find that was a certain rich man. And I've got a sermon entitled, Sad End to a Once Successful Man, somewhere or another. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, what God wants us to do is look at where you started from in life. I can remember whenever I was but a lad, and there was a lot of days that I got a whipping that I did not deserve. I had two older sisters. I was framed in a lot of that stuff. Mind you, most 99.9% of the time, I was guilty. I got to say to you that when you begin to look at where you started from in life. Just look at your life. What is your life? The Bible said it's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then passeth away. You don't have so much time here. Now, I realize, though, that in the day and hour that we're living in, time is passing by quickly. Miss Julie and I were talking earlier this morning there, and it seems like the older that we get, the faster that it passes off and the faster that time is moving on. Well, let me tell you right now, is you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think it's passing by quickly now, you wait till you hit the 75-year mark. I guarantee you right now, you better be able to recognize and realize and know is that God has got something to say to each one of us. One of them is look back where God brought you from and where you would have been and could have been and should have been had it not been for the grace of God. I was thinking about in the lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out. Look at where you started from, but more than that, look at where you are right now. I got to tell you, I never dreamed that one of these days that I'd have grandkids that's older than I can remember back whenever I was but a lad. And all that business there. We had a 58 Chevrolet pickup. My folks did. My dad did. He had bought it, brand new pickup. And every now and again, he worked hard and he'd pay for them notes and so forth and on, but he had a 1958 pickup, just a single cab, by the way. And I forget where we had been somewhere, and we had been somewhere, I don't know, in town over there around Sheridan, Texas. And whenever I got ready to get out, I just took for granted Mama was going to get out on the other side. Now, why did I take that for granted? I have no idea. But when I slammed that pickup door, she was coming out behind where I had just gotten out from. And that 58 Chevrolet heavy door hit her in the kneecaps. I thought I had broke her legs. Watch what you're doing, son, I could hear my dad still say. I will say unto you that if you will, please, you better look at what door you're grabbing and look door what you're entering. You'd better look at where you are. You better look at where you're going and what you're going to be doing. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that God wants to remind us we better look at where we're headed. In fact, look at where you're going to end up. I was talking to a man one time about his soul. I said, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, not really. But wouldn't you like to be able to get that settled with the Lord and be able to know him in the free pardon of sin? I think I might. I said, well, if you die, where are you going to end up? Oh, he thought until his brain was hurting and cemetery? I said, yeah, but I mean beyond that. People don't like to talk and think about dying and about where they're going to be headed to. I want to tell you something, is that this man here that had to build bigger barns, he didn't want to talk about it. This man here that had goods and riches and said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have enough room to be able to put all the goods that I've gotten, that I've reaped, that I've made. I mean, I've got so much money, and I've got so much hay, and I've got so much corn and things of this. I don't have enough room to be able to bestow all my good. And he said, I got it figured out, though. That sounds like Baptistic material, don't it? Got it all figured out. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns. And I want to tell you something right now is he had a pretty good plan, it looked like. And you'll find out is that what he should have done is from a child, the Bible says, that we ought to be able to hear the Holy Scriptures and we ought to be able to look at the Holy Scriptures. There's a passage over there in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in chapter number 11, in verse number 9. Listen to what he says. Because it's important that as a young man, that as your childhood ought to be saturated with this. Not everybody's will, but it should be. In chapter number 11, verse 9, he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. In other words, it's going to pass off pretty quick. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come, and while they come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say that I have no pleasure in them. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it. God wants you to be able from childhood to hear the Holy Scriptures and to be made wise unto salvation. I got to tell you, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3:15, he said that from the from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And I want to say to you, mamas and daddies, and some of you got youngsters that are out here, and you've got them in the right place this morning, right here at the house of God. Because if you're not going to care enough to teach him the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ, then who is? Who's going to? I tell you what the world's going to do. They're going to try to saturate their heart and their mind with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you better be able to saturate them with the holy word of the Lord. Well, this man decided that he was going to tear down his barns. He's going to build greater. He's going to have bigger storage pens and so forth. And he says, I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And God said, thy fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. We've just got through mentioning a loved one of a family that's passed on to the other side that went suddenly. My heart goes out to that family. I'm hoping and trusting and praying that he got it all settled before he drew his last breath and had his last heartbeat. Make no mistake about it, one of these days it'll be our time to go. I tell you right now, we all of us take for granted, you know, about tomorrow and about this and about that. You know, God warned us that are saying, go to now, and you're going to buy and sell and go in this city and get gain, so forth and on. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yes, boast not thyself of tomorrow, God says. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I was thinking about when we begin to look into this Bible, this lesson that's there, my wife and I, and we bless the Lord for how good God's been to us and down through all these years. And I remember that morning she fell, broke her leg or hip or whatever it was. There's something there broke. And all that business there, I guess it was on that night before while we were getting ready, you know, for bed for Saturday night to get up and on Sunday morning, and I remember that. That's where I finally learned that an education from gun smoke is worth something. I've watched Doc Adams set him many a leg, and so I decided I'd try to help pull that broken leg, straighten it up. And she was, oh, she hollered. Well, doctors have to put up with stuff like that. I got to say all of that to say this, but if things happen in our lives, I can remember when old Brother Nathan, song leader here, that I can remember whenever he was out there riding the bike, him ripping and romping and playing and this and that and all that, and boasting about he could ride like the wind when he hit that little chug hole and fell over and broke his arm. He'll show you the scar sometime. You can't hardly see it now if you're standing more than 200 yards away. I don't know what the world the doctor was thinking about that. I'll tell you what I do notice about that, that doctor didn't watch Gunsmoke nearly as much, or he'd have done a better job sewing that up than what he did. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that we're not always going to be kids. We're growing and growing quickly. And here's a man more interested in his crops than he was the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man that somehow or another, buddy, is that did not recognize he was headed toward the grave. And I want to say unto you that, if you will, please, is that his ground had brought forth plentifully, and he didn't want nothing to do with Christ. He was interested in his crops, but not in Christ. He was concerned about physical things, about material things. And we live in a world that's like that. And let me tell you something, his thoughts were about his fruits and about his good, about his cattle, about his children, about his career. You ever notice that in the day and hour that we're living in, that we live in a sports-minded world? I mean, really. We've got a communistic-minded world that we live in that has no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. In fact is, if God don't intervene, if something don't happen, New York's fixing to have a communistic-minded mayor. I said that just so you'd be able to know and realize to know nothing takes God by surprise. Listen, the farther that a town, the farther that a state, the farther that a country gets away from God, the worse that it'll be for them there in the end. This old boy right here, he was a planning man, was he not? I've got so many goods, I don't know where to bestow them. I'm going to have to tear down something and rebuild again. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that here's a guy that he cared more about his possessions than he did being able to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a proud man, no doubt. But I want to tell you something. In the day and hour we're living in, things, the Bible said God was not in all their thoughts. And you'll find that's what happens. I think about, as we get ready to close here this morning, is that you'll find out that this man thought he was going to live to be many years old. But he didn't. And I got to tell you right now is, God said, "Thy fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be that thou hast provided?" I can tell you this, there's nobody else that's going to care as much once it's all settled and the inheritance is all settled. And the money's all settled, it won't impress God one bit. You better come to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin while there's hope for you and while there's time for you. I had a man tell me one time, I said, "Sir, if you died today, would you go to heaven?" "No," he said, "I'd probably go straight to hell, but I'll tell you, I'm going to throw a party and buy all the beer, and I got news for him, more air conditioned the place." Now, that's the kind of thinking, warped thinking, that the world has adopted and adapted to. I got to tell you, is that you'll find out, "Thy fool," God said, "tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." And I want to tell you something right now. If God calls us to give an account of ourselves tonight, do you know him? See that? Do you? I can remember whenever I was young, about 24 years old. That's been a while ago. But I can remember, you know, when at night I'd sometimes, having heard a sermon, being to church, God started knocking and pounding on my heart's door. And at the age of 24, I realized and knew that I was lost and undone without God. And I'm going to tell you right now, God just kept dealing with my heart. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that I did not want to die and leave this world in the condition that I was in. And when God came knocking, by faith I opened up and received Him as my Lord and my Savior. Could I ask you about yourself this morning? What about you? Is it wonderful to be able to think about that, hey, I've got no problems whatsoever in this world that God's not already gotten taken care of? I'm His and He's mine. And I got to tell you right now, is it's by the grace of God that I'm saved, by faith in Him that He gave me, that I was washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, what about you this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I'm asking You to finish the message in every heart. Lord, Thou knowest every need that we have. And I pray that now, that as we get ready to depart from here, and Lord, as our musicians come, and maybe we can have an invitation song, maybe somebody's heart You're knocking upon and You'd like to draw them unto Thyself. Lord, I pray if it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, that they don't leave like they came. They're lost without God. May they leave as a child of God. And Lord, may every child of God certainly be humbled in their heart before Thee. Now bless, I pray, this sermon, this up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Number 114.
114. What we sing in